The Team, 92.1 FM.
Let's check the report.
Lansing Sports Talk Leader.
Welcome back. It is The Drive with Jack, The Team, 92.1 FM. My co-host today, Neil Koepke, my human hockey website. Longtime State of Michigan sports writer. How many years at the Ann Arbor News?
25, Jack.
25 at the Ann Arbor News.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant the State Journal. 14.
14.
Or 15 in Ann Arbor, 25 in East Lansing.
Okay. We were at the Lansing State Journal the same amount of time, but overlapping a little bit.
You started earlier. I started earlier. Left earlier, and then I
40 years at the two papers for you.
Right.
Well, you're the right guy to talk about the series, which we're going to do in the 4 o'clock hour. We're also going to do in the next couple of minutes with our guest, Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com, renowned clinical psychologist, educational consultant, and Renaissance man. How are you, John?
Very good. Can't complain at all.
You're doing a lot better than Atlanta Falcons fans.
Yeah, that was about as bad a thing as you could imagine since the title of your book, The 10 Seconds, The Poor Michigan People, from a couple of years ago. Same kind of a thing, really.
Would you rather not have gone at all than to go that way, be that close? And the headlines in the papers, the stories that were written, the celebrations in progress, and then have Lucy pull the football away.
Well, considering the price of the tickets and the whole works, this son of the Italian immigrant probably would have rather not gone. How does that sound?
What about emotionally?
Emotionally, I think that had to be astonishingly devastating because the game was really over. I thought it was over, really. You know, I never imagined there would be such a comeback. And then to have the miracle catch, which could very easily have been an interception, it's just like fortune favors the brave, fortune favors certain people. And it definitely looks like New England obviously has the talent, but they clearly have things happen for them. I know there would be argues that are those that would argue the best team gets the breaks. I think there's a lot of truth to that. But, boy, it's hard to believe that Atlanta, for a lot of that game, wasn't an overpowering team, really. Looked like the old Michigan quarterback might do astronomy in that first half. You know, he was on the ground all the time.
Right.
So it was just an amazing thing. And you have to wonder if Atlanta became timid, if they were doing funny things. Like at the very end, when they were in field goal range, it seems like the more logical thing to do would be to try to run out the clock.
Yeah, I don't think they got timid. I think they got maybe a little caught up with their own bravado.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're the one who used the slogan, fortune favors the brave.
Yes.
And I would normally agree with that. But in this case, they got a little too brave.
Well, I think that is true. I think in this case, what they really needed to do was just run out the clock.
Yeah.
It's kind of a odd thing. And then not to get rid of the ball, you know, when you're going back. And then to hold.
Yeah.
So it just seems like it was like a Hollywood movie more than a football game. And it allows Brady and Belichick, I mean, they basically continue their majesty. And it's, you know, people love heroes. They clearly, at this point, are functioning in that role, and they seem to relish the role. So I guess we have to go along with it for now.
The psychology of facing a Tom Brady team and what seemed to be an inevitable surge in the fourth quarter. Once they got to 28-12 and recovered the fumble, he said, uh-oh, here comes the train. Better get off the track. And Atlanta could not figure out a way to do that. Once it got to 28-20, and the Falcons missed that chance. Once they punted up 28-20, I don't think many people figured that the Falcons' defense was going to hold New England.
I think that's really true. I think psychologically, once they lost the lead, if they had been able to maintain it, then obviously they would have won the game. But once you saw New England coming back and you saw Brady in form and you saw the offensive line really protecting him tremendously in that last quarter, you definitely had the feeling that things were going to change. Fate was on their side. You know, Caesar himself riding in. You know, you really had the inevitability of it. And that's just how I felt, how the young John felt, and those of us watching the game. So I think it was something that seemed it was just going to happen. And then that catch is such an amazing catch, the way he picked it right off the ground.
The one from Edelman, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's I think, you know, if you get run over and beat up, it's bad, but you don't have anything to look at the right. ceiling late at night about. This is one that right. Atlanta, my oh my.
When the Patriots got beat by the Bears back in Super Bowl 20, everyone said, well, that was just, they just weren't up to right. stuff. It just yeah. wasn't going to happen. But for the Falcons to lose a game this way, they're going to have that, we were that close, we should have, we could have, all of those things the rest of their lives. And Doug Warren actually brought this up, John, and I thought it was a brilliant point. I hadn't thought of it at the time. Once the game was tied and it was going to overtime, if New England got the ball first, they were going to win. The Falcons' only chance was to win the second coin flip of the day. They won the first one. They had to win the second one or prevent New England from ever touching the ball. And the only way to do that after they lost the coin flip was to try an onside kick against a team that was never expecting it.
You know, that's actually a very good point, because it did really seem it was inevitable. You know, you kind of watch things and you find it amazing. But once that coin toss was done, I don't think there were many people that didn't really think that they weren't going to come right down and score a touchdown. Not a field goal, but a touchdown. You know, Jack, that's an interesting point. Brings back old Duffy's first game against Michigan, that onside kick.
I think that against Notre Dame, too, in 68.
Right. Well, that is right. So I think that would have been a shocker and really surprising. And basically, they might not have even had that much worse of a position
right.
than the way it worked out. So, yeah, but Jack, like I say, it's when you look after the game, those are the thoughts you have. And, you know, if I were an Atlanta fan, the worst thing would be I would really think we were the better team
right.
that kind of just figured we've got this game won. Psychologically, you could argue something happened, because they definitely were not the same team in the second half. So whatever happened over in the New England dressing room, what happened in the Atlanta dressing room, is the type of thing that I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot about.
Atlanta kept running the play, snapping the ball with 15 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, right.
They didn't take
yeah.
any time off the clock. He kept saying, you know, just like take it down to the last 5 seconds before you snap the ball. Not a bad idea. But, you know, John, you always hear about the Super Bowl babies. In fact, the NFL does commercials about it. And the number of babies that will be born on November 5th in New England, maybe a record number. They better get ready in the maternity ward. And someone said, there will not be a child born in Atlanta on November 5th.
Well, listen, it may be a red letter day. You know something? That's something worth keeping track of. You know, a way to celebrate the night. Oh, my goodness. Well,
more than
Jack, you have a way of putting things.
I want to talk to you very briefly about Michigan State, Michigan basketball. It is not a sellout. Maybe it has something to do with the 9 o'clock start. But you've been to enough Michigan State, Michigan events. The passion continue regardless of where the teams are, both these teams unranked.
I think so. I think this is a big game. I think it's one you want to win. I think basketball, obviously, has been a much better sport at Michigan State over the years. But I don't think there's any question Michigan wants to win. And I think it's a close game. It may be, again, come down to free throws, which may not be a good thing. But the thing, Michigan hits with three-point shots. They have an excellent chance of winning. If we hit our free throws, I think we have a very good chance of winning. Even that Purdue game, if we hit those free throws, we're in that game all the way. So it's going to be a fun game to watch. I think we're getting stronger right now. I'm not sure how Michigan is doing overall. Relative, I mean, they're not doing as well. So it's going to be an exciting game. We'll just say go green, in spite of Neil having all those years in Ann Arbor.
Well, it was interesting to hear John Beilein's comments after the Ohio State game. And he said, well, you know, we played about as hard as we can considering the guys on this team.
It's
like saying, these guys, you got out-rebounded by 18 rebounds at home by the Buckeyes. So, you know, apparently that's what he thinks he has, and I don't know what message that sends him.
Well, let's hope that they kind of humbly and happily lose tonight. How does that sound?
Dr. John Braccio, no doubt where he stands.
Okay, guys.
Thanks so much.
John.
Appreciate it.
Listen, nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Dr. John B. We'll be right back with much, much more. Terry Denbo will be here, our At Issue Hour, and we're going to talk about this rivalry. How healthy is it? and which school benefits the most, and does that change depending on the seasons and the sport? We'll be right back on the Team 92.1.